have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 809, News Radio 92.3. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Melanie Cormandy is the managing editor at the Gulf Breeze News. She and Lisa Newell usually tell us what's going on in the paper, a little bit of a preview before the paper actually comes out on Thursday morning. Hey, Melanie, welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It took me a second and I remembered your title. Sorry. I've said publisher so many thousands of times for Lisa that I sometimes get confused in my head. So we have this person got shot in the Bahama Bay parking lot, right?
Yeah, on Thursday, the police responded to a call about a firearm being shot in the Bahama Bay condominiums. They showed up. There was somebody, the victim was shot in the abdomen with a handgun. After doing some further investigating, they located J. Allen Bachman at his home on Greenbrier Circle and arrested him for shooting somebody with a handgun and discharging his firearm in the parking lot of Bahama Bay. Now, this is behind Harbor Town, where the Gulf Breeze News is located, on your way to the Bob Sykes Bridge.
And this was started with the Gulf Breeze Police, but then Santa Rosa Sheriffs were involved in the apprehension as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, the incident happened in the city of Gulf Breeze, but the arrest happened outside of the city's limits.
We also, and I saw this, I don't know any of the details, so you're going to be the first person I'm asking about this. The Garcon Point Bridge, there was a body found there a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, and you know, we don't have a lot of information on this either, just what the sheriff's office has put out. But on March 30th, the sheriff's office received a call regarding a deceased individual. A person was fishing beneath the Garcon Point Bridge just north of Highway 98 and discovered the body of a deceased adult male whenever he called the authorities. So the Major Crimes Unit and the Medical Examiner's Office is actively working to identify the individual, but that's all the information they have right now.
You know, I know for once we identify somebody, you know, friends and family of a victim or of somebody who died of natural causes even, it's always a horrific thing for them and if they've been a missing person and all of that. But I also always think about the people who find. Like, we had somebody found a skull in Escambia County not that long ago on Fence Line Road. And, you know, it's a long, long, long ago case, whatever it is. But same thing here. Like, I just can't imagine. You're out fishing, you know, nothing's biting today. And then, what's that? I mean, but this happens. It's awful, but, it does happen. I always think about those people, too. Highway 98, the shared use trail, there is one, right? There is one that goes all the way, right?
There is one, but it's a sidewalk. So, yes. So the city of Gulf Breeze are known for their multi-use path, their shared use trails, their network of trails, and they're trying to strengthen.
You mean
it
the
even
e-bike
more.
Racetrack?
I didn't say that you did, but yes.
Rick Hawthorne's going to be so angry at me. Tell them get off their e-motos. I know, but then there's what people actually do. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, sure. So the city council, they directed staff to submit a grant to Florida Department of Transportation to further a 1.85-mile multi-use pathway to go along Gulf Breeze Parkway. And this is from Shoreline Drive to Bob Sykes Bridge. Currently in the – yeah, so it's going to go along Highway 98 – again, by Harbor Town and the Pensacola Beach sign where it curves to go to the Bob Sykes Bridge.
Okay.
There's a couple of alternatives. There's an 8-foot path. There's a 12-foot path. But we get a lot of pedestrians and cyclist traffic down that sidewalk. So it's really going to improve the safety of the people using it.
You know, that's interesting. I never thought about how obviously, the multi-use path over on Shoreline and the multi-use path that goes from, like, the Whataburger east to forever – I never thought about how there isn't one in that one little stretch. But then you've also got the issue of crossing, what, the off-ramp or whatever, when you're right by the sailfish sign. Is there a plan for crossing at this moment that you know of? And then, I mean, you got, like, the trees there and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. What does it look like? Or do we still just, we're very early phases?
So there is actually, you don't cross by the sign. The crosswalk is closer to the Bob Sykes Bridge by Soundview Trail.
Okay, right. I see that. Yeah. I mean, in my head, I remember, right.
Yeah. So part of this project is to enhance that crosswalk as well, to make it more visible for people who are driving.
To
see the people. Because there's a lot of kids who go from school and drive their bikes, you know, down the highway a little bit to go home, and I'm always concerned about them crossing area.
That's a very fair point. Schools are closed tomorrow for Good Friday, right?
Yeah, schools, Santa Rosa County offices and the City of Gulf Breeze offices are closed for Good Friday tomorrow.
And we have Spring Fest coming up in, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. It's a couple weeks from now, but it's worth putting on your calendar because it's always a really good time. Spring Fest is going to be at the Gulf Breeze Community Center starting at 4 o'clock Saturday, April 18th. And it's a lot of fun for the whole family. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's food, there's bounce houses, and everything you would expect for a fun spring day.
Outstanding. Melanie Cormody is the managing editor for the Gulf Breeze newspaper. Comes out every Thursday, and we're joined by either she or by Lisa in the morning. We talk through the things that are in the paper. Melanie, as always, thank you for the good information. We really appreciate the news service, and they'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. We'll see you in the breeze.
Yes, ma'am. 8:15 on News Radio 92.3. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens today and tomorrow, by the way. Thank you, PJ, for being here. Always doing a great job. Tell them about traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. U.S. 98 westbound in Gulf Breeze as you're passing by Naval Live Oaks area. It has seen some congestion, so expect some delays there. Also taking a look at the big board, we still have that vehicle crash in Milton, U.S. 90 at Russell Harbor Road. No roadblock. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
You know, I had a chance a couple of weeks ago to go talk to Thane Taylor. He's the owner of the Sleep Center because I was learning about beds because, you know, they're going to become an advertiser. And one of the things he was telling me is that traditional beds, of course, have a certain kind of lifespan based on how much or how little you use them. And one of the factors that is, you know, if you're a larger person, okay, you wear out beds faster. He, speaking from experience, his brother is 400 pounds, you know, like, I mean, kind of a big guy and 6'5". And he would wear out a bed like every 6 months. And one of the things that Thane would always do is kind of like buying beds, you know, because, I mean, he's in the business. It's kind of a nice thing that he would do. And he then got him a Tempur-Pedic. That's the space foam. You know, the NASA's in the news right now, but, like, they invented the space foam. It's patented, and Tempur-Pedic is the only ones that have the exact same thing. A lot of imitators, not at all the same thing. And he gave it to him, and it lasted 8 years. A guy that would wear out a bed every 6 months managed to make this mattress last 8 years. So when you talk about, like, durability, one-time investment, for most people, probably for the rest of your life, you're going to have a great bed that is going to be forever, keeps its shape. I mean, the stuff is kind of amazing. You know, there's the pure memory foam, which kind of cradles you in place. Or if you like to move around a lot, like I do, more the, you know, springs foam hybrid is another alternative. The point is, you should find a bed that fits you. You should find a bed that makes you feel great when you wake up in the morning. Exactly the right kind of bed for your body, your support needs, your pressure point needs, your comfort, all of that kind of stuff. And they have all of them, and they are great at this. Best selection, best service, best price. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. Go there if you've had a bad encounter with a mattress or a bad encounter with a mattress store. They're your place at the Sleep Center.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
When
when storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
How was school?
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
You know, I keep thinking about this comment that Chief Winstrom made about a half hour ago, and he's made it before, but I had wanted to ask him specifically about it. By the way, it's George Michael's Fantasy, if you don't know the song. It's great. It's the B-side on the CD, the little mini CD that they used to have for Freedom. I know, all those words don't make any sense to you if you're under 30. anyway, sorry, this is my fault. Hey, what's up, Andy Hobbs? Chief Hobbs is in the house, going over to Cat Country. He'll stop in here maybe later. Anyway, where was I? Squirrel. How dare he distract me. Chief Winstrom was making the comment about, you know, how does a community want to be policed, right? The police, I mean, we employ the police. You know, we're their bosses indirectly through city council and the mayor, but we decide as a community how we want to be policed. We express that viewpoint through voting and then through comments at city council, right? I mean, you know, the police in, you know, Santa Rosa or the sheriff in Santa Rosa is not necessarily the same as the in Escambia or in Miami or in Dallas or in Chicago or in, you know, Medford, Oregon. And the police are to do the things that we task them to do. And I love that he has that concept about policing the community the way the community wants to be policed. And that may, you know, that may well sometimes mean doing things differently than he wants them to be done. But, you know, ultimately, it's democracy. It's they're public servants, not public overlords. And so I was kind of talking with him about how, you know, public safety and Chief Leiter's old thing about how the best way to prevent life loss and property damage is to get people to drive better, which means enforcement of red lights and speeding and, you know, distracted driving and all of that. And, you know, it's obvious when you think about it, but maybe I'm dumb for never having thought about it, that we all want safer roads. We want, right, safer property and life. We all want our kids not to be run into. We all want our spouses not to be run into. We all want that. Same people turn around and chafe when we get tickets, drive too fast, drive distracted, think it won't happen to me, and then get irritated at the cops when they enforce the law that we tell them we want because we want to reduce property damage and life damage. So it's just, hey, welcome to humanity. We're a mess. 8:21 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
A federal judge has ruled that the Ten Commandments monument on the Arkansas State Capitol grounds violates the First Amendment. Judge Christine Baker ordered that monument to be removed, but delayed enforcement pending appeal to the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday. Serial killer Ted Bundy now being linked to another murder. Bundy was executed way back in 1989, believed to have killed dozens of women across the West in the 70s, Utah officials yesterday finally closing a case from the 70s after they said they found definitive proof that Bundy killed a 17-year-old Utah girl. And apparently the new Super Mario movie is breaking box office records. Super Mario Galaxy made $34 million on Wednesday. That is the best opening day so far this year, beating out Project Hail Mary by $1 million.
Hmm. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 8:22 here on News Radio 92.3. This is one of those, like, once you hear it, you won't be able to unthink about it. But it is a funny one for you to tell your friends about, like at work or whatever. You know, if you like to show up at work with a story that nobody else has heard, this might be that story. You ready? So, and it's not a super lurid story, but it does involve, you know, men and women and babies, and you'll get what I mean. Okay, so if you got kids in the car, and okay, but it's not lurid. It's just, so there's a woman, and she's dating this guy, and she has sex with him. 4 days later, she does the same with his older brother. So, yes, this is Jerry Springer material in the making. She stays with the older brother in a relationship for a little while and soon thereafter discovers she's pregnant. She and the older brother act like a family. He's on the birth certificate. Assume the baby's his. Later, they break up. And you're starting to guess this. She gets back together with the younger brother. So then she and the younger brother start to dispute the claim that the older brother is actually the father. And so they go to court to have the court, this is in Britain, they go to court to order the court to change the birth certificate to the younger brother who she'd had sex with first 4 days earlier. Pretty thorny social situation. Again, Jerry Springer material. But you would figure this is fairly easy to resolve. How? What's the obvious thing you do? Well, you do a paternity test. Not so fast. They're identical twins. So, I know you have questions. Question number one might be, how is she sure of anything in this context? Who was which night? Because, you know, apparently she would have had to know them both well enough to tell them apart. I mean, I don't know. It's questions I don't necessarily want answers to. But where it gets interesting is, if you know your genetics, what's the genetic difference in the child of a woman and identical twin A and that same woman and identical twin B? The answer is, you can't know, because it's the exact same original genetic material, 50% of which is contributed to the child. Therefore, the odds of that child being daddy A or daddy B or brother A or brother B, you cannot figure it out. So the court has literally said the truth of the child's paternity is that their father is one or other of these two identical twins. It's impossible to say which. That's Lord Justice Moylan of the Court of Appeals in the ruling. We can't rule either one of them out, and we can't rule either one of them in. This is obviously very problematic for both the mother and the parents, the fathers, and for the child. But literally, we have no guidance to give you on this. And since you're, a term that I may want to say, you, of such a woman's nature, we just can't help you with this. 825 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit madmadd.org. Taking a look at the big board here, US 98 westbound in Gulf Breeze as you're passing by the Naval Live Oaks area is seeing some congestion, so expect delays there. Also taking a look at the big board in Milton, we have a vehicle crash, US 90 at Russell Harbor Road. No roadblock. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I saw the just oddest little headline the other day that caught my attention. It was meant to be instructional. It was actually an NPR headline. And the headline read this: are you sure you know what gaslighting is? Which I thought was the most gaslighting headline you could possibly ask. Right, because, you know, gaslighting goes back to the old movie, and the idea of gaslighting, which is what they were trying to explain to people, is, you know, the real sense of it is when you make people doubt their own sanity and therefore doubt their version of events, even things they've seen with their own eyes, make them feel crazy and question them to the point where they question themselves. But what they were kind of lamenting is that this gets used a lot of times in an inappropriate way. Welcome to English. You know, a word gets invented, then it gets adapted, then it changes, and then it doesn't bear any resemblance to the original. And, yeah, I mean, that's English. But what they were getting at is trying to explain, you know, what gaslighting is, what gaslighting is not, and help people to use it properly. And I just thought it was funny because the premise of the article is they're kind of, you know, makes you, do I really know what gaslighting is? Maybe I don't. You know, just it's often exercise in gaslighting. 437-1620, you know, several states over the last few years have been getting rid of abortion or reducing access to abortion. And so the question is, what effect is that actually having nationwide on the prevalence of women getting abortions? And I suppose depending on your point of view, but according to me, this is bad news. The rate of abortion has actually been holding fairly steady across the entire U.S. Now, each state is seeing pretty heavy fluctuations in how many abortions are being done. Like the numbers in Florida are down a fair amount. The number of abortions is decreased slightly from 1.124 million God, that's such an enormous number. Increased slightly to 1.126 million over the last year. But what's happening is, you know, you have like state A has a ban or a restriction that's strong and state B does not. So women travel across state lines to go procure the abortion in other places. And then some states have worked on trying to create laws that prevent that. Well, there's a whole other mechanism, which is making even that much less common. It's the pharmaceuticals. You know, what is it, like half? I think it's half. I'm going on memory here, but I think about half of all the abortions in the U.S. are performed with drugs. Well, you just, you know, write away for a prescription and they send you the drug. So, you know, very, very, very small number of people travel across state lines. Like out of that 1.1 million, 142,000 people are traveling across state lines. But half, you know, about 600,000 or 700,000 are getting them pharmaceutically. You know, and they're seeking the abortions that way, which is, unfortunately, that's the reality of it, but that's where we are. We talked yesterday quite a bit about some of the setbacks that President Trump had. One of the ones I did not mention is that Judge Randolph Moss in the U.S. District Court of Appeal, District Court for District of Columbia, has said that the president defunding NPR and PBS constituted First Amendment violation because it was viewpoint discrimination rather than legitimate government neutrality towards the content of speech. I don't know what Aspen Public Radio, NPR, Colorado Public Radio, and KSUT Public Radio in Ignacio, Colorado brought the suit. I don't know what the remedy would be at this point, even if this holds up under appeal. But the unique singling out of NPR and PBS for content, which was he viewed as unfair, inaccurate, unbiased portrayal of him, constituted the First Amendment violation, which is, I mean, that's true. You could give other reasons why you don't support those entities, but that would be problematic. But like I said, now that they're in kind of the death throes of a sort when it comes to funding anyway, what would the remedy really be?
Therese Crowley, we are nearing completion, says President Trump in his address to the nation. Operation Epic Fury will hit Iran hard for the next 2 to 3 weeks, saying Iran is the bully of the Middle East no longer, but the nations who use oil from there must protect the Strait of Hormuz.
We will be helpful, but they should take the lead in protecting the oil that they so desperately depend on.
With the price of oil shooting up today, oil traders worried about the president warning the U.S. will hit every electric plant in Iran if their leaders don't make a deal. The president's speech saluting NASA's Artemis II crew on the way to orbit the moon.
Victor, we are going for our families.
MF1. This is Christina. We are going for our teammates.
MF2. This is Jeremy. We are going for all humanity.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3 Sunshine. Right now, we've got 68 degrees on this Thursday morning. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us here in just a few minutes. UWF set to make a big athletics announcement today. They are hosting a press conference. Manny Diaz Jr. and Athletics Director Dave Scott will both be on hand for that. News Radio will have reporters on scene. We'll let you know when we learn more from UWF today. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson has announced the permanent protection of nearly 1,450 acres of working farmland in Putnam and Madison counties through the Rural and Family Lands Protection Program. The easements prevent future development while allowing farmer and timber operations in those lands to continue. And since taking office, Simpson says over 168,000 acres of ag land have been secured and more than $700 million in state funding for that program. The Florida Highway Patrol stepping up enforcement in construction zones around Northwest Florida. This is following two incidents this week, including one where a road worker was critically injured on Beulah Road. Troopers say speeders are the issue, with drivers going too fast when traffic clears in construction areas. Of course, in those areas, speeding fines are doubled, and that's whether construction workers are present at the time or not. FDOT says construction zones are designed to be as safe as they can be, but drivers still have to pay attention to the reduced speed limits and signage. Troopers say they've been making 13 or more stops per shift in those construction zones. Well, the Republican Party of Florida is all in on the idea of Chief Financial Officer Blaise Ingolia getting a full term.
Disappointed Ingolia to the position last July after former CFO Jimmy Patronis left to run for Congress. Since taking office, Ingolia has visited more than a dozen municipalities to call out what he describes as overspending and overtaxing, claiming his office has ID'd about $2 billion in overspending. He also oversaw a record $88 million in unclaimed property returned to Floridians in February. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. President Trump congratulating NASA and the Artemis II crew after the mission's launch from Cape Canaveral last night.
They are on the way, and God bless them. These are brave people. We want to God bless those four unbelievable astronauts.
Speaking on Wednesday night at the beginning of his primetime nationwide address, the president saying that the launch was, quote, quite something. Artemis II now on a 10-day test flight that will carry those astronauts around the moon and back to Earth. Well, veterans could benefit from new bills Rick Scott has filed. Senator Scott announcing yesterday he's introduced the GI Bill Transferability Act and the Schedules Act. The GI Bill Transferability Act would make it easier for veterans to transfer their post-9/11 GI Bill benefits to families so they can better plan for their educational futures. Scott says the Schedules Act would establish clear, transparent standards for how quickly veterans receive care after a referral. It's 8:35. Let's get a check on our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic's brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get ready to laugh out loud with Junie B. Jones, the musical, from April 10th through the 12th. Tickets are available at the PLT box office or PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Taking a look at the big board, we have a brand new crash on the board, a vehicle crash with injuries. County Road 197A at Quail Drive in Milton. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution through that area. Also, US 98 westbound in Gulf Breeze as you're passing by the Naval Live Oaks area. That has seen some congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some sunny skies today with a high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. On Friday, partly cloudy skies, high near 76. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Going into Saturday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning, taking a look at our opening numbers from Wall Street today. Dow is down 1.25% at 45,982.5. The S&P down just under 1.5% at 64,86.25. And the NASDAQ is down almost 2% this morning at 21,416. The 10-year bond rate up at 4.34%. Looking at that oil price, now that is up a lot today, up over 12.75%, almost 13% now, 12.88 a barrel at $113. Gold price is down over 200 at 45.95. Silver down 5.91 this morning, and that is currently sitting at 70.17. And Bitcoin down over 2,300. At $65,852.50. Taking a look at a few of our financial headlines today. The Labor Department reporting a drop in the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits. Claims received in the week ending March 28th totaled 202,000, a decrease of 9,000 from the previous week's revised total. Most analysts had been expecting to see about 212,000. Initial filings reported today. SpaceX is reportedly planning to go public.
The privately owned rocket company is said to have filed draft plans on Wednesday for an initial public offering that multiple sources say could be the biggest of all time. The reports say the filing will lead to a sale of shares by either June or July. It's not clear how much SpaceX plans to raise through the sale of some of its shares, but CEO Elon Musk is expected to control a majority of voting shares, which could make the world's richest person even richer. SpaceX recently merged with Musk's AI company, XAI.
Their combined value is estimated at over $1 trillion. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. Well, the weekly jobless claims isn't the only report out today. Employment in the private sector expanding, more than 60,000 jobs added in March. The payroll management company ADP highlighting the findings in its new report while noting that increases in pay and hiring were leveled. Smaller employers are believed to be behind recent increases in jobs. The company's chief economist also said that job growth continues to favor certain industries, including healthcare. It's 8:39. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Goodbye. I'll tell you in advance, this is one where I'm not sure how well this is going to work, but I am curious. It's a conversation that I was having with my son the other day, and you'll see where we go with this. The question of the day is, how do you sit in your car seat when you're driving? Like, how far up or back do you sit? And I know it's a little bit hard to describe, but I imagine that the range here is everything from what I'll describe as Chicago cool, where your head is basically looking out the rear view, the rear window, the passenger side, because your seat is so laid back that you could fall asleep, and you're basically holding your body up with one arm, you know, so you're a good 3 feet probably away from the steering wheel, to what I'll just describe as my 20-year-old style, which is 1 inch from the steering wheel. I got in his car the other day to just move it in the driveway. I'm like, gosh, I can barely even fit in this. And the funny thing is, you know, I'm 5'6" on a good day, probably 5 if I'm honest. used to be 5'6.5". Anyway, but you get older, things happen. Anyway, and he's like, you know, 6 feet, I think 5'11", something. Anyway, he's much taller, he's bigger. And I'm like, good Lord, how do you fit in there? And his explanation to me was, it's how I pay attention. It's my gaming pose. So when he's gaming, you know, these gamers, if you ever watch them, a lot of times they're right up on the screen, right on top, you know, very attentive, leaning forward, paying attention, taking it all in, quick response time. And he says, it makes me a more attentive, more alert driver to be right on top of the steering wheel and closer to the action in the windshield. And I'm like, I didn't understand that answer, but that's fine. You drive how makes you feel safe and comfortable. So 437-1620, how do you position yourself in your car? How far away from the steering wheel are you? Are you very up on top of it? Are you back? Is the, you know, is the seat back up against your back, or is there a gap? I don't know. These are the questions I'm just curious about. I may discover that nobody has an interest in this topic, or they think it's hard to answer. We'll find if we fail, we fail quickly. It's the advice of my boss. So first, PJ is sitting in for John Pickens this morning. 437-1620 is the number. 437-1620. PJ, as I'm talking you through some of the options here, what's your answer?
First of all, for your son's car, does his ceiling have a really low ceiling?
It's a Prius, and he's a little taller, but that's not the issue for him. At all. I mean, that doesn't, it just, well, he doesn't hit his head.
Based on where the ceiling is and where the windshield is,
yeah.
That should matter.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if you get
if you're too vertical, yeah.
You're in the windshield. Or, you know, if you hit the brakes too hard and head bumps the ceiling.
I probably exaggerated a little bit. He's not like 2 inches from the steering wheel, but he's, because I can, it's just, it's much closer than I felt comfortable with. Yeah. I felt compressed in there. So, but he said he likes to be pushed up on top of the action a little bit and close to it. Gaming style. So
my wife is 5 foot and she sits about an inch away from the steering wheel.
So
too.
Same thing. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you get in the car, you have to move the seat way back.
Oh yeah.
Cause you're like 6'2".
I'm 6'2".
There you go. Okay.
So I got to push it all the way back, but I try to have the seat up a little bit.
Okay. A little bit vertical.
Yeah, I don't like to be reclined when I'm driving.
Yeah. Same. I find that if I'm too far back, it feels uncomfortable in my arms, but also I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the car's trying to put me to sleep. But if you're too far forward, you know, if the angle, either the seat itself is too far or the angle is wrong, it's funny how little changes in that can make you feel very uncomfortable according to what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So
especially on long drives.
Right. And I'm the one who drives primarily in the long drives, but it's my wife's car we're driving, and she's like, you best not change it. I'm like, but I'm driving. And we're very close in like height and, you know,
I see we have a Buick Enclave.
Oh, so we have a setting,
thing on the button on the door.
So jelly.
Driver one, driver two. So
yes. 437-1620. PJ's got traffic on the fives. If you want to weigh in on this, on the best, I don't know, proximity, driver posture, seat back, upright tray tables in your locked and stowed positions, whatever it is for you when you're driving your car, tell me. 437-1620. PJ has traffic on the five.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. County Road 197A at Quail Drive in Milton. There's some roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Oh my God. I'm getting actually a little bit surprised. I have a ton of input on this subject. I wonder if I'm gonna meddle in anybody's relationships this morning. I sometimes think that. 437-1620, the question of the day, frivolous topic of the day is, when you're driving, are you pushed up against the steering wheel a lot? Are you reclined all the way back? What I call one-arm Chicago-style driving, where you basically, if you look left, you're looking out the passenger's window, not your own window. You're so far back. Let's see. Somebody says, I'm laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. I know where you're coming from. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 846 News Radio 92.3. I get it. It's a lifestyle. That's fine. Let's see. Somebody says, I don't want to sit that close to the steering wheel because I'm afraid the airbag will kill me. Yeah, I get that too. I do. Somebody says, I'm so short, I sit really close to the steering wheel, and I'm also sitting upright, very much so. Somebody else texted, low rider. That's great. Wonderful. Sorry. It's not fair to laugh at a joke I haven't let you in on yet. Paul writes, so your son drives like an old woman. Yeah. He would bristle at that suggestion, so I won't make it. But yeah, that's funny. He says, somebody else says, I've seen people so close to the wheel that if the airbag deployed, they're going to be decapitated. That's not funny, but it's true. Let's see. Don says, middle distance from the steering wheel, seat back straight and upright. I'm kind of that way. I do want it. I want to be comfortable. Side note, you know, some cars, you find this by driving a lot of different cars. Some cars have the headrest that pushes your head forward, and I understand that that's designed to be a safety feature to keep your head from snapping back, as opposed to the alternative is the old American bench-style seats where you basically, if you put your head back all the way looking straight up at the ceiling, it would eventually touch the headrest. So this is the opposite of that. I hate both of those. I don't like my head to be pushed when I'm driving. I don't mind it resting. I like it to rest against the head. That's why I like Hondas, because Hondas do it this way. But, yeah, you bring up a whole different, like, set of trauma for me, is dealing with these cars where they're pushing your head back all the time, like intending curvature of the spine. Let's see. Question of the day, how do you sit in your car? How close to the steering wheel do you sit is the primary objective? City driving, upright and close to the steering wheel. Long distance driving, more relaxed and leaning back. Oh, okay. But do you move your seat? I'm curious if this person moves their seat in the process, because I don't ever like to move the seat around when I'm driving. It sounds like you lean forward and back within the range of motion created by a seat that's kind of far away from the steering wheel, which is interesting to me. Now, once in a while, if I'm feeling a little drowsy when I'm driving, you know, you pull yourself closer, you kind of do things physically to wake up. But I understand where you put your arms. You know, on a longer drive, you're just one arm, and one arm is resting, and one arm is on the steering wheel, and that's a lot of time. It's not, I'm sorry, safety people, you know, long drives is never at 10 and 2 or 9 and 3, or as the police teach you, at 8 and 4. It's one arm. It just is. Let's see. Somebody says, what is this? I don't know. I don't know what that means. They just said thunder. I'm not sure what that means. 437-1620. Jake, producer Jake. Hey, buddy. The gap between me and my steering wheel is about the width of a box of Popeye's chicken tenders. Lid open. That sounds more like a situational strategy than it does like a general practice. But I love where your head is at. You know, you got to have something to hold the box. Somebody says, pretty close for me. I leave room behind me for passengers. Oh, in the backseat. Okay. Let's see. That's a different thing. I'm going to forget to mention this. I'm going to interrupt the frivolous topic to mention a frivolous topic. Somebody had texted me that Legos had a really cool April Fool yesterday. They said they were going to be putting out a line of cars that look and feel like Lego cars, with like handles that are Lego and displays that are Lego. And my immediate thought is, oh, people would buy that. It looks like a Tesla if Lego made Teslas. I'm like, people would absolutely buy that. Let's see. Somebody says, I thought it was a safety issue if you're too close to the steering wheel because of the airbag. I don't think he's that close, but I mean, I don't, you know, maybe. Far enough back, somebody says that the legs and arms are slightly bent. Okay. I'm 6'8", somebody says. That's not me talking, obviously. Obviously. I'm 6'8". I sit up straight all the way back, all the way down. Wow. Armada Platinum. Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, you're a hard body to accommodate. I understand that. You're not driving a Miata. Follow up the 8 and 4. It's easier to do this with my full-size truck than in my Honda Accord. That's right. The positioning of your hands is easier in some vehicles than it is in others based on the, you know, difference between them. All right, 437-1620. That's the question of the day. Oh, last one here. Somebody says, I'm 6'3". I drive a Prius. My seat is one click from seat back straight up all the way back and down, lots and lots of leg room, which is true. It's actually a surprisingly spacious car for being such a little car. All right, 851 on News Radio 92.3. If you need to do your business, needs to do some, I don't know, reworking of their employee benefits programs, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you want to save some money, you want to provide more choices, human resources or payroll management, any of that kind of stuff, Torgerson Consulting is really good at this. We have been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for about 5 years. Actually, since 2021, we've been using them for 5 years. And when we first started, it didn't really mean anything to me at the time, other than I didn't realize that we didn't have it as good as we do have it now. You know how you just kind of get used to, well, that's the way it is. When we switched, the first thing that I noticed is we had plan choices, like alternatives. We just didn't have that before. Like, well, that's cool. I like choices. That's better. And we can really pick the plans that fit us. And then when it came to, like, customer service and asking questions and doing forms, it was just like, oh, it can be this easy? You know, kind of like, how does this other folks do their business? Anyway, so they were great. We love them. My wife is a big fan. She's an industrial engineer. So, you know, efficiency and details are her things. And she says they're great. They answer our questions. And she's the kind of person that reads the policy. Okay, and then ask questions, and they have answers. And if they don't have them, they go find them, and much better than, you know, anyway, they're great. We love them. Torgerson Consulting, more than 20 years helping local businesses do right by their employees. 433-9996 for a no-obligation review, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Still loving some of these April Fool's Day things from yesterday, and just loving them. And you know, if you did not catch it, of course, the toll booth put in at Palafox was total April Fool's. The Yellow Angels that Pensacola Vibes did, they did like six of them yesterday. It's crazy. All very entertaining. But you know, no, none of that's happening. Just always remember April 1st. It happens every year. And every year people forget. Oh, I did. This made me angry. I think I mentioned this to you yesterday that Fox News in their 6 o'clock news at the top of the hour, they ran a, you know, don't get fooled today. And here's the things about April Fool's Day and why we do it. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to do a whole thing. You shut your mouth. You know, like, stop ruining our fun. And it's kind of like the people who always put the, you know, April Fool's comment on the April Fool's joke. I'm like, brother, just shush. Let other people enjoy it. I got a community alert warning from Facebook for my post yesterday. They actually put a little, like, fact check warning sticker on it. I thought, are you serious? You ruin all the fun. And look, I love Facebook, but they do some stupid things. The more you like a thing, the more you get familiar with the things that they do dumb, just drive you crazy. Yeah, this post appears to be satire, likely an April Fool's joke. No credible local or state sources have reported plans for tolls, SunPass, or surge pricing on Palafox Street. Mother of, what are you doing? Stop it. Nobody needs your help. And if they do, well, anyway, let's see. I get that you want to fact check. I get that you hate the spread of misinformation through your platform. But could you just turn those filters off for a day so we can have our fun? Anyway, I didn't notice it. I actually, you know what? I have to go back and check the Pensacola Vibes site and see if any. I don't think anybody else got, like, community standard did yesterday. So I'm the only one that they're worried about. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. County Road 197A at Quill Drive in Milton. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, I'm actually going real quick because I'm curious if Pensacola Vibes did get any of this yesterday. And they did one. Golly, how many of these? 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even follow all of them. But no. I mean, they put a Ferris wheel up on Wahoo Stadium, and they got, you know, Mayor Hayward in a wife beater shirt. I mean, they got 6 Mile Bridge. Facebook didn't fact check them. How dare you? Even the Yellow Angels didn't get a warning. All right, just go on with my life. It's fine. 8:57 on News Radio 92.3. Now, I just don't want to do that story. It's the Christy Noem story. If you know, I'm not going to tell you. Go look it up. It's awful. What was the Babylon Bee headline? Christy Noem asks husband, hey, do you want to get something off your chest? I'm not going to explain the joke. It just is what it is. I thought this was actually kind of neat, weird, and I guess I'm going to ruin some people's strategy here, but you know, so be it. This happens. A boss who uses a strategy for weeding out his hires from the good ones from the bad ones, and it has nothing to do with any of the questions or any of the things you fill out, any of the forms. Every time this boss goes and does an interview, he walks you around the office, and it's apparently a fairly common thing. They walk you over to the kitchen and ask you if you want a cup of coffee or something like that. The key here is to get you to take something. A cup of coffee, soda, tea, whatever. Black with sugar, cream, what do you want? Water. Because, you know, and like, usually people won't say no twice in a row, certainly not three times in a row. So if they say no to coffee, you can say a soda, and they'll say no to water. I mean, even if they don't want one, they'll say yes. Typically, humans work that way. And then he keeps walking with you, and they walk back to the office. The whole test, the whole question is whether you leave the empty or dirty or drunk from glass in his office expecting somebody else to clean up your mess, or whether you take the cup back to the drinks area, the cantina, or whatever you have, your break room. And the trick is that people, their interpretation is that people who will leave it are sort of selfish and indifferent and, you know, obnoxious and don't realize the impact they have on other people. And the people who will return the coffee cup or the whatever back to the break room are self-conscious, team players, generous, golden rule type people. And this is the make or break moment for you as a human being. Now, I think this is probably a pretty sketchy test of that stuff because, you know, on a given day. But I can also see it. And their theory is, boy, you don't know how effective and accurate this is. The right kind of people that we want to work with are the people who return the cup. And the wrong kind of people are the people who just leave it there on the desk and don't think anything of it. And that's a what they call them, green flag traits. Like red flag traits are problems. Green flag traits are when people do the right thing. Look out for the green flags. And they say this is the one. So now, if you know you're a leave-it-on-the-desk person, I guess you can pretend to be a good team player and take the cup back, and you can put on a happy face like you put on stuff on your resume.
This is On Air, 92.3, 95.3.